welcome to the next 8-4 Play podcast.
Jesus Christ.
I'm your host, Mark Gaming News McDonald, back in action here, back in Tokyo.
Woohoo!
With the regular crew, more or less, as it is.
Yay! Family's back together.
And we are here to talk about Japan and games and Japanese games, amongst other things.
Tier 2 games.
Tier 2 games,
right.
Yes. But maybe some Tier 1 games as well, because we have a little bit of E3 to catch up on, and there's not a lot going on. Actually, when like executive resignation is like our top news item.
It's the post E3 lull.
It is the post E3 lull. Ideally, we would have filled this with some of our promised episodes, to wit, Dark Souls podcast the second Resident Evil retrospective podcast, or I kind of want to do a Last of Us podcast. You guys still haven't finished the game.
Right. Spoiler
you keep
cast.
Promising these like full game podcasts.
Yeah, we're kind of getting more into it. But this would have been a perfect week for it. But sadly, we are weak. I could blame a lot of people at or around this table. But
this is the guy who got the game before it came out.
I don't want to get this. I don't want to make this to be ugly. not specifically Last of Us, but this is going to be a short podcast, is what I'm getting at.
Yes.
So that's fine. We're going to be back with one of those promised things. Maybe 2 weeks from now will be one of those promised things.
Really?
Yes. Believe.
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 Well, if we don't talk about Last of Us soon, there's not going to be any reason to talk about it anymore.
True.
Right? So.
A lot like BioShock Infinite. Remember?
We're not doing
about
a BioShock podcast.
Really?
Not while I'm alive.
I wasn't here when that was promised.
Why? Do you not like BioShock?
No. It's nothing to do with that. We don't need to waste a whole episode on it.
Okay.
So, yes. Doubting Thomas here to my right is J.J. Jepperson Starship Epperson.
Tom was singing We Built the City on Rock and Roll. And I
heard you were singing it.
No.
Oh, really?
Tom and Noriko were singing it. And, like, I believe that song to be...
Like duet? Like trading off back and forth?
Yeah, basically.
Really?
And, well, just the chorus. And I believe that to be the worst song ever recorded.
No kidding.
Because, I mean, A, the song is absolutely terrible. It's cliche. It's just, like, the video is terrible.
It's like all those songs about building things on rock and roll.
Yeah, basically.
JJ was a film critic, a music critic when he was 7.
But it's also, like...
Wait, how is it cliche?
It's because it's just, like... We just listen to the lyrics of the song. I don't even want to quote it. I don't want to go into
the
it.
The city on rock and roll.
My fun fact, my parents, when we used to go to taekwondo tournaments, would sing that song, replacing rock and roll with taekwondo. But that's besides the point.
That's amazing. How could you not like the song?
It also signifies...
Now we know.
Maybe that's the reason why you don't like the song.
A little bit, but it also signifies the absolute sellout of Jefferson Airplane to Jefferson Starship. They went from like singing songs about acid trips and Snow White to like, hey, isn't life great? Let's build a city on rock and roll.
That's not even the worst Jefferson Starship song.
Really? Is there?
Yes.
That's the only one I've heard. I don't want to hear anything
What about
else.
The one, like the mannequin song?
Oh, God.
Let him say you were crazy. I forget what the refrain is. We could like build this dream together.
Right.
Like, you talk about... Okay.
Actually, I feel like that song's a little bit better, just because it's tied to Mannequin, which was a hilariously awful movie. Yes.
Amazing.
Romp.
Along for our hilarious romp, at least for a little while, across from JJ, that is Hiroko Shebangs Minamoto.
Shebangs.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
Oh, bangs.
The 2000 Ricky Martin up-tempo salsa-influenced hit with double entendres about the singer's infatuation with woman. Mm-hmm.
Terrible attempt at getting like Shebangs into the popular vernacular.
It didn't really work.
No, nobody said she bangs.
And also, nobody was fooled that Ricky Martin wasn't like gay as the Russian New Year. But I digress. Hiroko, you have a new hairstyle.
I do.
And you have bangs now.
I have bangs now.
This was a long time coming. Hard decision.
Hard decision. No, actually, there was like 2 or 3 attempts in the past.
Yeah.
I tried it.
People were hurt in the attempts.
I was hurt.
Okay.
Yeah, it didn't look good on me, so I kept giving up on having bangs, but I tried it out with my haircutter friend.
Yeah.
And I think I finally like myself with bangs.
It looks good.
Yeah.
You did it.
I think it looks good. Yeah.
Mark didn't harass me with the nickname.
What? That wasn't a harassing nickname?
Yeah, that was a nice one. That was a nice one.
You look more like Matsushima Nanako now than before, with your hair the way it is now.
You know what, though?
I really don't know if you're trying to...
It was a good thing. It was a really good thing. But yeah, you know what? She's getting old. She's aging. She's starting to look
Matsushima
her age.
Matsushima Nanako or me?
No. Yeah. That is
Can somebody pull her up on the phone?
I knew he was talking about Matsushima.
She was really beautiful for a really long time. She's still really beautiful, but she's starting to look her age.
Yeah. But not Hiroko.
No, Hiroko looks forever 21.
Let me see here. I got
that means I aged 3 years from March.
The last time.
Oh, wait a second. You're saying she's looking her age now?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think she's. When I came here, she was like in her prime.
This is.
When you came here 12
what's
years
her name?
Ago,
the drama
from GTO, the original GTO.
Yeah. But
Kasefu no Mita.
And like
for those of you out there
recently, these are Japanese dramas.
Right.
Yes, Google her.
Yes.
Yes, she's older, but still fine.
This office is full of Japanese drama fans.
Yeah.
The record
Kasefu Mita is one of the best in the recent years. I would definitely.
Big breakout hit. You should watch. Maybe there's like a digest version on YouTube because
or Crunchyroll or something.
It's like ridiculously, retardedly simple plot.
Yeah.
And she acts like a robot.
Actually, she doesn't look good in that drama.
You know,
yeah, but
so?
They do that on purpose.
She doesn't laugh.
Yeah. She doesn't. She looks much better in that. She looked much better in that Lucky Seven drama. Anyway, here looking much better than in his dramas. I don't know than when he was in GTO.
Right.
That's right.
That's John 7-Eleven Ricciardi.
Yes.
7-Eleven.
I can only imagine this is Animal Crossing related.
I guess I hadn't seen you in 3 weeks. So.
This was because you went out of the way to go to 7-Eleven to get your meat bun steamer.
I did, and then I went back.
Work? How does that work?
So they have like limited edition 7-Eleven items for Animal Crossing, and so you go to 7-Eleven. Every 7-Eleven in the country has it. You go to 7-Eleven, you turn on Animal Crossing, you go to the post office in the game, and you just talk to the whatever it is, Pelican, and then
so they have like a Wi-Fi emitter thing just set up.
Yeah, they have like a Wi-Fi thing set up to automatically download items for people who have Animal Crossing.
Did you see like? Well, there's like groups of sad people like in corners of the 7-Eleven, or
no,
really?
You just walk in the 7-Eleven, and then you can just get it anywhere in the 7-Eleven.
The thing
you
is,
don't,
I
like stand in front of something or anything.
But you didn't see any other people there doing it.
Oh, I did actually. Yeah,
oh, really?
Not this time. The first time. Yeah.
Just to explain, Mark was calling those people "you people."
Yeah. I understand.
I
think it's awesome. Actually, I think it's super cool that you can do that stuff here. Like,
I'm just kidding. It is cool, and judging from Twitter, it's not at all like. A small subset, like
no,
everybody now is playing Animal Crossing. It has exploded.
Yeah. I'm actually quite surprised people are not like down and bitter about this game. Everybody's really raving about it.
Yeah, no, and
it's great. I mean,
seeing that hashtag, I keep thinking it's like "Ain't It Cool News?"
Yeah,
like AICN, but
right.
It's
ACL.
Yeah. So, we'll talk maybe a little bit about that.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
We should finish up rounding out our cast here. Erstwhile intern JJ's already laughing.
Just
for some reason.
Because I look over there and all I see is interns looking at their iPhones or smartphones.
So many interns, so many
smartphones.
Well,
they're just in the studio audience today. We only have one actual cast member.
Yes, and that would be Dan Shua Air Schroeder.
Oh, great. Did John ever try one?
Oh, you
know.
Oh, yeah, we should have you try it live. Okay.
Sure.
Explain what this is that we're about to give John that you brought in today.
Well, Frito-Lay and Pepsi have teamed up in Japan.
They're kind of the same company, I think.
Yeah, Shua, which is cola-flavored Cheetos.
Whoa!
Try it.
Cola flavored.
It's not just soda-flavored Cheetos. Like, they... have carbonation in them.
Try it.
So okay, this is not what. Oh, it's Pepsi. Okay, I was hoping it was Mountain Dew. Okay,
so shua is kind of like the sound of bubbles,
bubbly,
sort of
like carbonated.
You can hear it crunching.
Yeah,
skeptical look on his face.
He likes it.
Oh, you like
it's
it?
It's not disgusting.
It's not horrible.
No, it is terrible.
I smell Pepsi.
No, it's weird.
I smell Pepsi from you.
You tried one earlier, right?
I did.
Okay.
I've tasted horrible. Like, this isn't horrible. This is just weird. It kind of tastes like a mix of like Nerds and like Frito-Lay, like
to me,
mixed into one or something.
Yeah, it tastes like those cola gummies. Eaten at the same time as like Captain Crunch.
Wow, he's eating another
one. The rest of the bag.
Yes, you can have that.
It just tastes like gross.
There's a lot left.
It's not horrible.
So is this a seasonal new?
It's new as of yesterday, as far as I know.
Is this the American Frito-Lay slogan as well? Pop your time.
Pop. That's what it tastes like. Pop rocks, doesn't it? Like
the, yeah, I was gonna say
with JJ.
It feels like pop rocks.
It's definitely like
yeah, the fizzy like thing in your mouth.
Coated with that fairy dust. Also coated with fairy dust is this podcast.
Hi,
how's that?
Where we are going to talk about games that have people played and what they think about these games. So actually, why don't we start off? Let's not get into Animal Crossing yet, but John.
Yeah.
You went to the Electronic Entertainment Expo.
Along with you.
Otherwise known as E3. Oh.
Yes.
However, unlike me, you have not talked about it for like 2 hours.
No, I did listen to you guys.
On a podcast. Mm. You did?
I enjoyed Jake's Shinkansen comment.
What'd you think? We got a lot of hate talk. Yeah, yeah, about yes. Well,
yeah, we let
listeners go
that.
Listen to it if you didn't hear it. So
I thought it was fine. I don't get all the Nintendo people. Were they hating?
I think they turned off the podcast once they heard somebody making snoring noises or something.
Maybe.
I mean, we gave a thorough rundown. I thought of E3 definitely gave Nintendo its due, maybe more than its due.
I thought so, yeah.
For
I
what
thought they got more
had showing at E3. We did forget one game, though.
Did?
Can't remember which one it was. Yeah, but there was one game we were like, damn, we didn't talk about that. Oh, well, I'll forget it twice.
X.
What? X? X?
No, that's not. You think Mark wanted to talk about X?
No, X we didn't talk about, but it was. I'm talking about games that were actually there.
Oh.
But anyway, so why don't.
Also, the order wasn't CG.
Oh, that was one thing. Yeah, you guys kept saying it was CG, but I think I know what they meant. I think you just meant to say what they weren't showing gameplay, right?
Well, I know people thought. I don't know. People thought
it didn't look CG.
I didn't really care about it. So
I thought that game looked really good. Actually, that was one of my favorite games for the PlayStation.
That game looks fucking ridiculous.
Did we talk about The Division? I can't remember if we talked about that.
I think you only briefly mentioned it, but I haven't listened to the third party parts. So.
Super excited about that one, but John, so why don't we get your take on E3? Just kind of in general, run us through.
It was pretty good, though, for a change, right? I mean, right. I've been to, 16 of the 18 E3s? I've been to all of them since the first, except those two, like, crappy ones. This was one of the better ones. This was, like, reminded me of the first E3, like, when Saturn and PlayStation went head-to-head. It's like, you had two new platforms kind of going at it.
New hardware is also always,
One had a crazy expensive price, and one didn't.
Yeah, I mean, that was the year that Saturn, they did the, it's out
surprise.
Today.
Surprise!
Yeah. And then Sony did the, it's $100 cheaper, and, like, all that. It was exciting shit. And, like, this E3 reminded me of that a lot. Like, there was not a time in all these E3 memories I can think of that was more exciting than just being in the audience during the PlayStation stuff while that was going down and like feeling the energy in the room when they announced like all the used game stuff. Like to hear people give like a minute long ovation over all that stuff was pretty exciting.
Well, you were there for the Twilight Princess.
I was there for all those big things. Yeah,
so
I was there
was
for Metroid Prime, which
ridiculous.
Was big. I was there for the Twilight Princess thing, which was Japan, I think, right? Wasn't it? Or,
no,
that was E3. That was E3.
That was like for pure fanboy, just like, I mean, people were like jumping up out of their seats.
Because they didn't say what it was. They showed the trailer for like 20 seconds before Link entered the scene, and then everybody freaked out.
There's a YouTube video of like an enhanced audio YouTube video where you can hear people in the background going, oh my God.
There was like Jesus Lizard levels of that thing.
They had the Conan soundtrack too, and like you could have like a wedding video be set to Conan, and like you'd still watch it and just be like ready to run through a wall like immediately
go
afterwards.
Outside and pick
like,
up a truck.
It's like it's not even fair. Like you set anything to that music, like people should do that. Set different videos to that music and send it to us.
That may be
we'll
the best
retweet it, but.
Movie soundtrack of all time, Conan the Barbarian.
Absolutely.
That was actually, fun fact, that was what we used for the very first opening of our first episode, remember?
That's right, way back when.
But anyway, E3, like, I mean, you guys already talked the games to death, so I was thinking more about the experience, but I just thought it was actually a really fun and exciting E3. I definitely made it a point to go, and I don't usually play games too much at trade shows. I don't find it enjoyable, but I like to watch people play, and I like to just look around the floor and see what's there, but I did make it a point to go pick up the PS4 controller and the Xbox controller.
Yeah, so actually, let's hear about those. What do you think? We talked about those a little bit last week, but I didn't actually get to touch either. Although, since the last podcast, I touched the prototype one.
Of the PS4.
Of the PS4, yeah. And I mean, it was like, it wasn't like didn't really surprise me much either way. Didn't change my opinion too much. Mm-hmm. But what about you? What did you think about the respective?
Yeah, I mean, the PS... Well, the thing
just
is...
to be on record, you are like a DualShock kind of guy.
I am. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I like the Xbox controller a lot, but I just don't like the fact that the D-pad doesn't work. But the this time around, the PS4 controller...
You use the D-pad a lot?
Yeah, I mean, there are certain games. We had this exact conversation. Yeah. There are certain games where you need
to. We decided that you don't really play fighting games, but you say that you do.
No. You decided that it wasn't necessary. I think the D-pad is actually important in some games, but I mean, it's really nice when you could just want to type shit in and you can't because it doesn't work. But like, anyway.
However, mm-hmm. side note, I was reminded how amazing the little keyboard detachment add-on thing is for the 360 controller.
Yeah, apparently they have one on the PlayStation as well, but it's not good.
It's garbage. Yeah. It goes on top of it. It's a piece of shit. I'm kind of curious. They haven't shown anything for the new Xbox thing, right?
Like, yeah, and I
not
saw
yet,
the
no.
old one's not going to work.
They released this trailer like of the PS4 interface, and like it had a lot of people typing messages to each other, and I'm just sitting there like, I don't want to do that with the controller.
Yeah, I mean, they need to come up with a good solution for that. But I honestly, like, the current Xbox 360 controller, even with that thing attached, I think feels great, and like, whenever you have to type anything, it's pretty awesome.
Well, there better be, like, you know, I mean, I'm expecting there to be things we haven't really even thought about. Like, they just, with the next generation of consoles, like, they just said that you're going to be able to scan, download codes with Kinect, right? Like, that makes total sense. Like, little things like that smart, that you don't even really think about, like, better be standard with these systems. But the PS4 controller is super duper comfortable. Like, I thought the DualShock was comfortable already. It's more comfortable. The sticks feel better with that little ridge thing around them.
Heavier?
Not really. I didn't think it was heavier. No,
Jake seemed to
feel
be
it.
Saying one of the guests from last episode that it had like a more substantial.
I didn't notice that. Feel to it. It felt as light to me as the old one did. One thing that I thought was weird is, you know, I didn't get to try it because the game I was playing didn't really take advantage of. But there's like this sort of touchscreen thing on the front of it, right?
Yes.
And it's.
I thought that felt well on the prototype.
It's clickable.
I thought it felt a little.
That I didn't
cheap.
Know. I found that out after E3 that it's clickable. Yeah, clickable. That's really cool. It looks like it makes the controller look like a prototype or something. They need to put like that pattern, that, you know, the pattern like the back of the Vita or something on it to make it look like actual button. But
and who knows what they will on the final maybe. Thing. I was hoping that would be like a little like LED display thing. That would be badass.
If they could do something like that. Yeah, but I played what was it, Hohokam or whatever, that one indie game, which I knew nothing about. I actually really liked the demo. The demo was really
cool.
See
the Conan O'Brien E3.
Yes, I did actually.
Special.
Yeah,
that was kind of funny.
And
that
I met those guys later at the Horizon party. But they were super nice guys. But they made some other Vita game.
We should talk about that too. Sure, about Horizon a little bit because you.
Yeah, sure. But before that, yeah. So the controller itself, though, it felt really good. It's like super smooth, and you know, I was happy with it. Then I went over to the Xbox booth and tried the Xbox controller, and to be honest, that felt really good too. The demo was Crimson Dragon. I couldn't try the haptic thing because it, you know, there was nothing as far as I could tell where you could like actually feel the L&R buttons like rumbling or whatever. But that is sounds really cool to me. I'm actually excited about that.
How was Crimson Dragon?
I just picked up the controller and felt I wasn't really like there to play Crimson Dragon. It looked good though. It looked good.
I think we've bored Dan. He's getting up and
he's
leaving.
He's coming over to the real mic. It was a bummer that their demo didn't work, by the way. But
dude, you mean the sound?
So heartbreaking.
Yeah. Sound in the Microsoft thing. So what like quick highlights of E3? Like you're leaving, came out of it most excited about what? Anything we didn't talk about that you were like?
You talked about everything. I mean, I personally was into on the Xbox side. I thought Metal Gear looked really good. I wasn't like too keen. I don't really care about the story stuff. I was kind of like groaning a little bit when they were talking and like giving the character names and things. It's like felt a little outdated, but the graphics and everything looked really, really good. And it's hard not to get excited about a Metal Gear trailer, right? But I also thought Titanfall looked pretty cool. Like, I'm kind of excited about getting in giant mechs and, like...
So that's one thing we don't have in the news the winners of the E3 awards, do we?
Oh, no, I guess we don't.
Yeah, that would be good. So, because the Titanfall is kind of cleaned up, I think.
I still don't see what's so... like incredible about that. Like,
well, the thing is, I'm not so much of like a multiplayer guy, so it's not like the be all end all for me, but there is something really cool with the sense of scale when you're going from being a dude on the ground to like suddenly being in this giant thing, and like they're not like slow moving, they're like fast moving and they're punching each other and shit. Like,
I just doesn't seem like it's something that hasn't been done before.
Well,
Who's done it?
It's not for you.
Yeah,
JJ, it's not for you.
The game's not gonna have single player either, which is weird.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not like crazy. Like, I mean, but that was just, you know, you either come out on, it seems like you either came out for or very against that game, but I'm pretty excited about
it. I'm not
it.
Against I mean, it. I'm just indifferent.
I was surprised at the level of hype that it got. It got, Tom here handed me the winners of the E3 Critics Award. So it got Best of Show.
Is the E3 Critics Award, is that the one where all the people in the media and so on and so forth?
Yep, all the critics. Best Original Game. Best Console Game.
Really?
Best PC Game. Best Action Game. Like, pretty big categories.
How many PC games were
best,
there?
Best payout for E3 awards, apparently. Jesus.
Best Online Multiplayer. I think that's all of them. Also winning was Supergiant with Transistor.
That was one of my downloadable game. I was excited about that. Yeah, to see that at the PS4 conference.
Looked awesome.
Titanfall did not win Best Racing Game. Barely. It got beat out by Need for Speed Rivals. Elder Scrolls Online, Best Role Playing. Oh. Best Action Adventure was Watch Dogs.
Who votes on this stuff? This doesn't sound like people who actually like care about good games. It sounds like people who care about like AAA.
Right.
You don't mean that. Don't say that. I know you don't mean that. Ah, that's funny. You don't mean that. No, this is all...
Elder Scrolls Best RPG. You couldn't find something better than that at E3.
I'm guessing there wasn't RPGs.
I don't know,
there.
But I would hope anything was there.
They got nothing. Sometimes they have these awards and it's like Best Fighting Game and it's like every fighting game that was there got nominated. They did shut down categories that were underrepresented this year, best handheld mobile game, Tearaway. So that game is getting a little bit of positive buzz. We didn't talk about that game. That was at Horizon, right?
Yeah.
Why don't you talk a little bit about Horizon, what it
was?
Well,
Horizon was this like indie event that took place. It was only an hour. It was like
it's like a press conference, but for like not just indie games, but not like dude, bro, I'm going to shoot, stab, knife you, kind
of. Right. In fact,
I
think one of the rules was like you couldn't have shooting in your game or something like that if you wanted to like
knife the throat time has to be at least 5 minutes.
Right. But they had, I think the two highlights that came out of that was there was an extended trailer for Below, which is Cappy's game for Xbox One, which is actually one of the probably five games I was most excited about at E3.
Yes.
Because we're super close to those guys. And,
it was the only game I cared about at the Xbox conference.
Yeah, it was,
Whoa,
it looks.
What? Really? Swearies stuff.
I've never played a sweary game, so.
Huh.
You didn't play, what was that PS1 game he did?
You didn't care about Metal Gear?
Metal Gear, I'm just not, not really. It looked good, but it's like
what
more
do you
Metal
care
Gear.
About anymore?
I care about innovation. Like, I care about next gen being more than what last gen was with prettier graphics.
What got you excited at the Sony conference?
Destiny.
Okay, that's coming out for both systems.
Yeah, right. But that wasn't at the Xbox show.
But JJ, Destiny is just Borderlands. Don't you read the internet?
When people said like, you know, I played a little bit of Borderlands, and I'm not like a Halo fan or anything. I have like neither of those games I give a shit about. But this like. And I talked about this on the last podcast, but the sense of scale and the way that things progress from just like single player to multiplayer to massively multiplayer, like the scope and just how natural everything was just, it floored me.
Yeah.
I thought it was amazing.
Yep. Destiny, you mean?
Destiny. When I think about like how next gen gameplay is going to happen, like this is the kind of thing I'm looking
for. Well, Destiny, we're getting away from Horizon now.
Sorry.
But Destiny actually, to me, like the first half of the trailer, I'm not an FPS guy, like, I play the big ones and everything, you know that,
me
but,
too.
Like, I'm not super into it, I don't really care about multiplayer too much, but, like, Destiny, the first half of the trailer, I was like, yeah, this looks pretty good, it looks like what I would expect from, like, the next Halo, it wasn't, like, blowing me away, but then they started doing that stuff where, it like, they were meeting up with other people, and it turned into, like, PSO with guns, and then I was like, okay, now I see what is awesome about this game, and, like, that one point right there, like, made me, like, really excited about that game.
Awesome design, too, yeah, so anyway, okay, yeah, back to
Horizon. Anyway, the two
Horizon.
Things, so the first thing was Below, so they showed an extended trailer, that's by Cappy Games over in Toronto, and it's two of the three thirds of Sorcery, which we were involved with on the Japan side. Two of those guys are working on that really early. They're not really showing anything yet, but it just has me super excited because we know the people behind it and we know it's going to be awesome. It actually looked really cool too. It was like the only game at the Xbox conference that wasn't like something you'd seen before anyway.
Right.
I don't know how early it is. I mean, they're just not showing
really
much. They've been working on that for a
right.
long time.
Well, yeah, what they showed at least looked like they didn't really show hardly
anything. There's a lot more that they're going to... We talked about a little bit about that last episode too, but I think they're rolling it out in chunks. They're keeping kind of like the mystery, which is cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Kinda, in line with the game. But
there was that, and then they, you know, of course, at the end, they announced Fez 2, which was really surprising to me. I'm excited. I'm not like I didn't expect him to make a sequel, and I still don't. I kind of expect this to turn out to be something totally different from Fez.
Well, he said that it's going to be something very different.
Oh, he did.
You did.
Oh,
I didn't. He said, yeah. I wish I had the exact quote, but I thought it was a really well put together. I mean, it doesn't show anything.
You got someone famous to do the trailer. I forget. Somebody told me about it at the show. I don't remember now. Okay. But yeah,
that would make sense because it was really slickly done and whatever. And like
all Disasterpiece did the music too. Who did the music for Fez 1?
And is on board to do the music for the actual game. And you could read into kind of the logo. I mean, the Fez 1 logo kind of represented what was going on with that game, right? The Fez 2 logo, I don't know, just go look at it.
Okay.
And let your imagination run wild.
Right.
But yeah, so I think it's going to be some kind of, it's not going to be the same, like, shifting 90 degrees kind of thing. But
there was a fun thing at the end. So later on in the day, in the evening, they had a party for the Horizon thing at the Museum of, what is it, Modern Art or whatever it is, the MoMA, I guess, or something. And whatever the museum is over there.
Contemporary art, maybe.
And we're there, and we're, like, you know, sitting, me and Jake are sitting out in the front, just, like, you know, having a drink and talking about E3, and, like, Miyamoto walks up alone. And, like, what the hell is Miyamoto doing at an indies party?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then it turned out that he took the wrong entrance. He was actually just going to the museum to check out the exhibits. Their hotel was, right next door. So, like, totally randomly, like, Miyamoto's walking into the indie party. Everybody, like everything went silent. Everybody's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Turned out he was in the wrong place.
Right. Apparently, he just, like, likes to go to museums and stuff like that.
So, he walked in. He was just like, oh, I'm sorry, guys.
He just, like, then he just, like, walked away.
That reminds me, I can't remember now we did a public service announcement last time that what's his name? Miyazaki's Twitter account is fake.
It's fake. I called it.
The whole jig is up.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's too bad because he followed all of us after two. But I was like, you know, from the very beginning, we were talking about it, how, like, that doesn't look real. But it's too bad because all these, like, people in the game industry were all excited
because I was reminded about it because he'd be like, oh, Transistor looks great. He was, like, complimenting all these indie things. And of course, people were like, oh my God, this is amazing, you know, and I would be too. But it's like, the only Japanese this guy has used in the last year is, like, exciting, like, and, like, these katakana hashtags. Anyway, so yeah, otherwise,
other stuff, E3, needless to say, the big war between Microsoft and Sony was awesome, and it was really interesting to watch Sony smack them down hard. Did you guys talk about the DRM switch?
Oh, yeah,
you did. Okay. You know, I think, As one of the harshest critics before E3 and leading up of Microsoft, I think it's, you know, at least respectable that they came back and took their about face. I don't think it looks good. I think it shows a lack of, like, leadership and foresight, and these are big things you want to have when you're, like, making console. But the other thing to do is to also be a stubborn idiot and not recognize that you did the wrong thing. So I think it's really good that they actually turned about on that.
And the other thing to do is now, I mean, they're going to be launching $100 more, but is actually just have good games and have good exclusive games.
Have good games, and I think loosen up on some of their policies that need loosening up, like the whole indie game thing about letting people publish and stuff.
A big one too, and there's been lots of rumors and talk about what's going to happen. They, you know, they went lax on their, they eased up on their charging for updates.
Right, they're not charging for patches anymore, right?
So I don't know. There's, like, a fresh breeze blowing, maybe. Through Microsoft, I mean, they've been just getting the shit kicked out of them, their teeth kicked in the press since before even, you know, E3 in terms of the indies complaining about stuff and also praising Sony. So, you know, it sounds like maybe something that's getting through.
Yeah, and then like, I mean, after E3 too, I mean, we'll talk about it more later, but then there was, like, big news this week with Matrick, you know, taking off, and then there was, like, you know, Edge put out their magazine, which is, like, basically choosing the PS4 over the Xbox One, which, by the way, this magazine came out, like, 2 hours ago. It finished downloading. It's sitting in front of me. I bet I can't look at it yet. But yeah, I mean, it's just, they've been taking a lot of heat, and, you know, we'll see what happens now, but, you know, it would have been, part of me is, like, a little bit sad that they didn't manage their message better, because, like, they didn't have all the worst ideas in the world. Like, some of their ideas were really horrible, but just, like, the whole, like, digital, like going digital and like online sharing, and like some of their ideas could have been cool if they had like actually just been really way more careful about how they like ease people in. Because I mean, all they were doing in a sense was offering like Steam, what Steam offers or what like downloadable games offer. But like,
yeah, but that's pretty. It's actually pretty different.
I mean, well, yeah, that's what I'm saying though. I mean, at the core, it is very different. But I mean, at the core, like some of those elements would have been good. But what they did is instead was when they did their 180, they kind of wiped the slate clean and went back to how everything was before.
Well, let's not. Yeah, we won't talk more about it. I mean, I don't think nobody would disagree, right, that their PR and handling of the message was totally fucked up. But yep. But let's talk about some other stuff. Is that pretty much close the book on E3? Anything else to say?
I think so. So good on Sony for having all that indie stuff at their conference.
Yeah.
Nintendo, yeah, they sort of didn't really show up, but you know, the game, I played Zelda, I liked it. Zelda 3DS.
Really?
I mean, yeah. Actually, we played all of Nintendo's games. That was the one thing we always do because...
Yeah, what'd you think of Link to the Future?
Whatever it's called. Link Between Worlds. No, it was good. It actually was, you know, I immediately took to how fast he moves and it's really smooth. And the blending into the wall thing, which I was kind of worried about because it looked kind of goofy, like is actually really interesting for exploration and like puzzles and stuff. And the other thing too was you played Wonderful 101. I played Bayonetta 2, super smooth, fun. We played Mario World. We played pretty much everything.
How was Mario World?
Mario World was fun, but it's just like it's hard to get over the point that it's like a game that just came out on 3DS like a year and a half ago. I know this is different and I know there's a different point, but I'm not the only one, I'm sure, who would have liked something completely different.
I probably need to play it solo. We were playing it with like four people, and that's just like a shit show. You know, it's like everybody's chaos. Running to the pipes, and you don't know what's going on, and there's no like, it's hard to appreciate like the level design and stuff like that when you're playing it that way. So,
you were probably playing it with strangers,
and I'm playing it with two strangers too. Yeah. So it's not like the kind of chaotic fun on the couch with your friends exactly. It's pretty much the worst environment to play that game.
The cat thing is cool. I actually liked the cat suit. I thought it was interesting. There's like some parts about it that are like cool as a power up, and then the fact that they play is like Mario 2, like where like the princess floats and Luigi jumps long and Toad's really fast and powerful. Like those elements seem like they might make the game more interesting.
Yes,
but
so some friends at Nintendo actually thought, because we talked on the podcast before, apparently I don't know if you guys remember this, about like they need to bring back a sequel to Mario 2 or whatever.
Yeah,
they're like, how do they know? Who told them? What's going on? So okay, moving on. Let's get to some, because we don't have a whole lot of time.
True.
Do you have today a game of the show, John?
Game of the show? No, I don't actually. Okay. Not really.
Well, no, I thought I'd ask.
Did you have one, Mark?
My game of the show would be probably Last of Us.
Come on.
I don't know. Just to throw a little curveball in there. Okay. No, I didn't really have a game of the show. The game I think I said I was most excited for coming out of it was either Destiny / The Division. So let's talk about these games that have come out. Last of Us, actually, let's not talk about, because you guys haven't finished it. And okay. I don't
How far
talk
are you,
about
JJ,
it.
Percent
I'm 51%.
Okay. I'm 43.
Okay. It's a long game.
Yeah, I played an hour last night, and I only went from 41% to 43%, and I wasn't screwing around. I was moving. Like,
yeah. Yeah. It's a big game. And also, like, I mean, this is not a spoiler, but even if you are like a search every nook and cranny type person.
I am.
I don't know. I missed a lot.
Really?
Of the, because you see the collectibles at the end.
Oh, okay.
I have no idea where the hell they all were.
I am one of those people. I'm going all over the place.
Okay, I'll be very curious how many you end up with.
Okay.
I've only found like a couple of those.
Shivving all the doors.
Things,
and
Firefly pin or dog tags.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll talk about that probably. Big next spoiler cast in the next episode.
I'll be done with it by next episode time, for sure.
Give people time to get sick of hearing people talk about it first. what about game you just got yesterday? Earth Defense.
Oh, Earth Defense Force 4. It's unfortunately, I was worried this was going to happen, but I played through 6 levels, but it's not enough to really give a lot of opinions on it yet, except that I'm super excited about
it. Have you
it's
tried any of the
so
new characters?
So much better than Insect Armageddon. Like, it feels like the last game. Like, it feels like the last real game.
This one made back
this is made in Japan by Sandlot. Takes place like I forget 6 or 7 or 8 years after the 7 years after the last game of EDF 2017.
And you're playing it on
PS3. The load times are unbearable, but, you know, between levels and stuff. But, I mean, so is Last of Us.
Earth Defense Force game that's not technically brilliant.
But the load time was never an issue. It was
Dude, Last of Us has a long initial load, and then
an unbelievable
minutes.
I timed it.
What?
It's 4 minutes.
Oh, I think you said 20 minutes.
No. I like how it loads for, like, a minute before the loading thing comes up and says, like, 1%.
No, I like how it's 0.01%.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it's goes
thanks,
down to
thanks
the
for that decimal point, guys. But then there's nothing.
Yeah,
right.
It's just it's loaded.
Yeah,
which is amazing. So
the big
Earth Defense Force. Yeah,
the big thing with EDF 4 is it has online co-op this time. Brings back Pale. Well, I don't know what they call her this time, but it brings back the flying girl basically from EDF 2, which is awesome. It's weird. It's like the things I've noticed so far very early are that like it's. It's leveled up in the sense that, like,
so for people who don't know, third person
shooting game. You're fighting against giant bugs, ants, spiders,
it's
robots.
Kind of a B movie,
yeah. Totally B movie.
Shitloads of crazy weapons.
Yeah, crazy weapons. Like in the old game, anyway, one rocket would like down any building, and the whole building comes crashing.
Yeah,
down.
There was like an atomic bomb sized missile that you could hold.
Yeah,
in
it's
your
like
hand.
A just destruction over the top. Yeah, and it doesn't try. This game series started out as a budget
crappy
title.
It was
on
the
PS2.
Shitty visuals.
One of the simple 2000 games.
It's awesome.
It's like that has super slow down. Mark's a big hater, but
it's garbage.
I love the last game. Probably one of my top five Xbox 360 games. It was so much fun. And this one is basically, it's got online. The bugs now are like actually a little bit more smart. They're like, they'll pick you up and like throw you around and shit. The spiders are like pulling you up into their webs and crap. Like there's more stuff going on. You've got the flying chick.
How does it look? Does it still look bad?
It looks better than the Xbox 360 version did.
That's
not
saying a lot.
Dude, it's not.
Does it look good or does it still look bad?
It never looked bad to me, so
okay,
you're...
That means it still looks bad. What about the controls?
Controls are fine. Controls are
okay.
Same,
controls
same
are bad too.
Controls are not.
I noticed
bad,
you
dude.
Did not say they're good.
You you're like what? 10
controls
minutes,
are fine.
Maybe?
I don't know. Controls.
The
are,
appeal of this
controls
game.
Are fine.
The controls are good. I mean, there's nothing
wait,
wrong
no,
with
okay,
the controls.
So what's, controls are good.
They were last time too. Yeah.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with the controls in EDF. Have you even played the game, or have you just looked at
there's
it?
There's nothing wrong with the controls.
Have you
in
played
EDF?
The game?
Yes.
For like what? Like 5 minutes?
The PS2 one, or
I played like. Three or four of them.
The PS2 one had terrible.
The Xbox 360 one is way better than the PS2 one.
Being garbage. I tried the 360 one because everybody was like raving about it, and it was still like, what the hell are you people talking about? This
it's
is
such
like
a rush.
Sub
like,
Gears 1.
It's
control.
A crazy B movie parody.
No, I get it.
Game
I
with
get,
giant
I
explosions.
I get it, and I want to love it. And it's just like the controls are like, put me down, stay away, get away, never touch me again. I'm ugly and horrible and hideous and broken. Never play me. That's
nah,
what the game.
Think,
that's the message that I was getting.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Dan
yeah,
is
one other little thing
quietly.
Too. Is like,
actually, how much is it?
Oh, I don't know.
Like $70,
$60 or $50.
Oh man,
like
yeah, because I'm pretty sure I'm gonna pick it up tomorrow.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's so you cool can, to you can have something online. To play online.
Right.
With, yeah.
One other thing too is like, so in the past, one rocket would take down any building, but now there are buildings that actually take a few rockets. But like when nice. They come down, they break off in a way that like sometimes the shit will crush the enemies and stuff too. So it's
oh,
pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
Are the buildings still like six polygons, one for every side of the building?
No, dude, it's not anywhere near. You're totally over.
Dude, those buildings
thing.
Were
not,
like six polygons.
And if that's the case, it
and
looks
that's,
way better.
That's giving them the benefit of the doubt that there was even a polygon on top of the building, which there probably wasn't.
Right.
Because that would like that.
No, this time there's a lot of shit. There's debris
the
all over the
down.
Place that you're like just basically trudging through. But you know, I only played six levels, so I need to play more. But I'm super excited about
so
it.
So the new one is just called Earth Defense.
In Japan,
Force.
It's called EDF4. In the US, it's called EDF whatever year. 2025.
When does that come
maybe.
Out in America?
Like spring. It oh. takes forever. I don't know why.
Okay,
next year spring.
Well, that story.
Yeah.
That story oh, needs wow. you know a lot of time to localize.
Well, there is a lot of voice acting to for you know they're
really?
Talking the
yeah.
whole game. I
in
mean,
English?
You and your no, I mean. Yeah, there will be in English.
No,
yeah.
but I mean, it's not in English now?
No.
In the Japanese
No, it's
version?
In Japanese.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's like overly dramatic, like, oh,
it's,
we're
yeah,
going
to
die.
It's intentionally like B-movie right. voices. It's pretty funny.
All right, so like early verdict on it? Nothing?
I mean, it's not... Early verdict on Insect Armageddon, the one that was made in the West, was that it kind of sucked. This does not suck. This is the real game from the real people. Definitely worth checking out.
Okay. Animal Crossing, we mentioned a little earlier. Anything you guys want to talk about? What's the haps on Twitter? Do you all have badass houses because you've been playing it for like
I
a
do.
Year?
Yeah, I think I'm probably the only one still playing
that
it.
No one else has. And...
I just completed my Nintendo room is now complete. I have every lucky ticket item, which you get from the fortune cookies. That's the way you use play coins to buy fortune cookies, and you will randomly get an item. And I got all of them. And so now my back room in my house is just like a Nintendo museum.
Can people come in and steal shit?
They can't steal it, but they can come in and check it out.
Cool. Are you creating stuff, or are you making like
I haven't
clothes?
Made too much stuff yet, but now that I got that room done, now I'm going to move on to like my next project and like make the rest of my house look cool. I've got a lot of the shops opened up. A lot of everybody I know is playing that game. Yes. So like people are coming in the village and like, you know, trading shit and everything. And
it's cool to see. I mean, like we talked about before, that game totally is made for social media and Twitter specifically, but it's living up to its potential.
And they add the screen, you know, the screenshot function is built into the game, so you can take screens and you can go on the Twitter go on Twitter from the internet browser and post your pictures, which is really cool.
They have an upload utility too.
That's what I'm talking about.
Like, I thought you said. Well, never mind.
Yeah, you have to go on the browser on the 3DS, but then you just go there and you can basically. Right. It's like the official. It puts the hashtag on.
Someday
and,
like, they'll get it like in game, which would be nice.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it's selling like crazy.
Yeah.
As well, selling really well, which is awesome.
I'm seeing people who I would never ever thought would play Animal Crossing playing it too. Like it just like everyone.
Luke Smith tried it.
Really?
Yeah. Luke Smith is super, super into Puzzle and Dragons.
Puzzle and Dragons. Yeah. He's talking about
crazy into Puzzle and
That's
Dragons.
That's so weird.
Yeah. What else? New Street Pass stuff. JJ.
Oh, yeah.
Did that come out today? Does anybody know in America?
I don't know.
Wait, today's Thursday in Japan, so it would be tomorrow in America. So it's late in America. Came out Europe and Japan the same day, 2 weeks ago. Four new Street Pass games.
Wait, like right after E3?
Yeah, I was in the U.S.
Thanks.
Yeah,
it's kind of weird. Timing.
Right after E3. Yeah, two. So they basically.
Maybe that's why it didn't come out.
Maybe. Yeah. Four new Street Pass games. So you know the Street Pass games we're talking about. Up until now, you could collect the puzzle pieces or do the, what is it, Find Me, which is like an RPG. But they brought out four new games. I think the English names are like Garden, which that's the one I don't like. Battle, like Labyrinth or something, or Maze.
Well,
I forget
the name. Who cares what they're called?
Basically, one of them is a shooter, and it's freaking awesome. It's like an old school, like side-scrolling, or vertical. It's vertical and horizontal. Different stages are different shooter. Right. It's got mechanics that are like, oh my god, they like slightly evolved the 2D shooting genre, like from when it went, you know, from when it went into hibernation 20 years ago.
It's a full game, too.
How does that work with
Street Pass? It's very
meaty.
You collect, so let's talk about that game. It's called Street Pass Squad. Basically, every time you Street Pass somebody, they'll, let's say you can do up to a max of 10 people, right?
Yeah.
Those people come into your game. You are the ship, but they are the weapons. And so you can have up to 9 of them. Like, you can have 3 weapons at once, but, like, then you can have, like, power them up once, power them up twice, and that adds up to, like, the 9 people or whatever.
Right.
But they basically. And depending on the color of the shirt, the weapon is different. So you might have like a laser, you might have like a tractor beam thing,
color
you might
of
have like
me
the color
shirt.
Of the meat shirt. Yeah.
Okay.
You have like different weapons and,
you don't see them like,
you see them floating
around.
You do. They're floating around. Yeah. Actually, you pick them up. You start with just one guy and then the other ones are like scattered about the stage.
You kind of rescue them. Like they'll be behind a few Fender enemies. You kill the enemies and then you
enemy might be carrying them or they might just be floating on the stage or whatever. It's really cool. But, The coolest part about this is you shoot with the A button, but your guns, the R button moves the gun 8 directions around your ship. So you could be pointing in any one direction at any time by hitting the R button. So you have like this kind of full control of your gun in 360 degrees around your ship.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're moving either sometimes vertically, sometimes horizontally, sometimes whatever.
Interesting.
It's actually like really good. And it's not like a crappy, like it's like they put time and effort into making this like a cool shooter.
It's not like just a crappy iPhone. Sorry, Dan, a crappy iPhone.
No. Aimless. This is like a game. It reminds me a lot of like, it feels a bit like Gradius and a bit like Twinbee. There's like, there's that sort of colorful, crazy world of Twinbee, but then there's like the game mechanics of Gradius and, it's really good. Lots of stages too. Like I'm still playing it.
It gets pretty
like 11 stages or so far, and I'm still going. Yeah, one stage you're on like a roller coaster, and like it's just like you're being pulled around the track for the whole stage, and like you have to like shoot the thing to like it's like a minecart almost. You shoot the like lever to like change the direction of where you're going and stuff. Like it's all these theme stages. It's really good. Other three games.
There's
Garden.
Garden is like this thing where you just raise plants. Like you get seeds from people and you make plants. It's actually not. The idea itself would be good if the dude in the game didn't talk like so much.
It's There's for 6 year old
dialogue.
Girls.
No, what it really is, it was their attempt to get the people who don't want to play the shooting game and the RPG and everything else, i.e., like, you know, your mom or whatever. And you build a garden. But the guy talks too much, so it takes too long, so I don't bother with it.
Okay.
The other two, one is this war game where It's pretty cool. I forget what it's called.
It's almost a little bit like Dragon Force.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually a lot like Dragon Force as far as like the way it looks.
Right.
You're gathering up. Everybody gathers up soldiers.
Me, Dragon Force.
Yeah.
A bunch of me's that you've ever passed.
Like, I mean, it is basically like that. So
in the battle.
Every person you street pass
it's
with.
It's a conquest game.
The data for how many people they've ever street passed with comes with that. And that's their like army. So if they've street passed 3,000 people, they have an army of 3,000 or whatever.
That's awesome.
If they have the game, though, they'll come in with their actual amount of people from their army. Like, I street passed a guy that had 162,000 people.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
John from Sega, our friend of the show, John Rogers, has over 500,000 people.
Jesus.
What?
So basically, like, you know, well, the thing is, you get the people. Let's say I street pass JJ and he has like 1,000. If I have more than him, I'll just get his people. If he has more than me, I can choose to just just say hello, or I can actually fight him and try to like take over, and then I will get his people.
Right, but only if I have the game.
When you fight,
it's this rock paper scissors thing. You have archers and what is it, swordsmen and like cavalry.
Yeah.
And the way it works is, I forget which is which, but like one, it's like Fire Emblem, like it's rock paper scissors. One defeats the other, one defeats the other.
Right,
and you have like this little slider at the bottom, and you slide how many people in your army you want to devote to each of the three, and then you have to win best 2 out of 3 battles with them. So maybe let's say I put like 3,000 people into my archers, and they're strong against whatever, I forget, and then I choose them to fight that aspect of JJ's army, and I beat them. Yeah. I have to basically win 2 of those 3 battles, and then I will get like, you know, JJ's troops or whatever.
And the strategy comes from, you don't know what the other person's going to pick.
Right.
So it's hard to see.
It's like rock, paper, scissors.
Right.
But like, I could put 20,000 people into like one thing, and then just regardless of what he picks, even if he picks the one strong against me, I might still win because I put so many people into it, but then I'm screwed if with my other ones. Like, there's actually like a solid... It's really simple, but it's really fun.
I think
strategy.
It's probably the hardest of the 4 games.
Yeah, maybe. It's fun too, and all the while you're moving your way through a map and you're conquering kingdoms one by one. Taking over like the CPU's opponents as well.
And you can like buff up your castle and all that stuff.
Yeah, you rank up your castle. It's really good. The last one, which was made by Yuji Naka's company. These are all made by different companies, by the way, not Nintendo.
Right.
The last one is...
The Labyrinth one.
It has a different name in English, but I forget. Mansion, maybe?
Mansion.
And it even has music like Luigi's Mansion, which is weird. But it's kind of like the evolution of the RPG game, I guess. Like this is also really interesting. You go into a mansion with several floors.
Yes.
And every person's color of their Mi shirt... how do you even explain this?
So the people you street pass with bring along pieces of the floor.
Right.
And depending on how many times you street pass with them, they'll either have like one piece or 5 or 6 pieces that you can choose from.
Mm-hmm.
And you put the pieces down, like you go into a floor and there's like nothing. It's just black space. You put these pieces down and you're able to move throughout the floor. And,
piece has to connect to another piece. You can't just like throw it out randomly. You have to like connect your pieces throughout in order, and you're looking for the staircase basically.
Right. And to find the staircase, you have to put the piece in the right spot. You don't know where it is, but you keep building to find it.
Hmm.
And if you put, if you make a square out of a single color, you can get, treasure chests, and like if you walk
like a Resident Evil style item box where you can like,
so you have like health and like an attack level.
There
and,
are
RPG stats.
Yeah, there are enemies. Yep. Like if you every time you put down a different color piece of the floor, there's a door that links the two. And if you, sometimes when you go through that door, there's an enemy behind the door.
Hmm. And you fight the enemy by like charging up your batteries. You have like batteries. And so your batteries act as your shield. Like if you hold up your shield, you'll block the enemy's attack, but you'll be draining battery. But you also use the battery to shoot your gun. So like, and there's all these different guns you can get. You can power up, you level up your guns. It's like crazy deep for like a Street Pass game.
Yeah,
it's
definitely
really
my favorite.
Cool.
I'm glad they're getting a little deeper with those games. Maybe I'll have to actually dust off my...
Yeah,
my 3DS.
And the thing with all these that is new now is how you get hats. They've expanded the hats finally.
Of course.
You know how I love the hats.
Inevitably, it all ends up.
Well,
in
it's
hats.
Not just hats anymore.
I don't know. They have like full outfits.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I'm just a
mind blown.
Full on Luigi now.
Paradigm shifted.
But so the way you get hats now is like it's kind of like just by doing achievements essentially. Like you make accomplishments in these games and you'll get like hat tickets.
Okay.
And then every day in the real world that you can choose to buy 4 different hats, and the eShop or whatever like changes out the hats that are available every day.
Huh.
So
they
you
have
can,
like special one time only like hats
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's actually going online or if it's just waiting every 24 hours and then just changing up what's available. But basically, you can change. You know, like I had an Animal Crossing hat and I tweeted it and like it got retweeted like 100 times because the internet was freaking out about Animal Crossing hats. And like JJ got like a full body Luigi suit. Like there's all these different hats and stuff you can get now. So they've totally expanded the Street Pass thing. The only downside is now Street Pass, like if you want to actually do it, is like a 45 minutes of your day every time you Street Pass people.
You just have to pick the games that you want to do.
It's so much work to do every,
update all your games, basically. Yeah.
Not a problem if you're in America, but here in Japan, when you have 10 people twice a day.
It's So, but yeah, it's really cool stuff.
Yeah, it's gotten me to get my 3DS out of my kids' hands and
it's actually
take it around.
Gotten you off that the Ouya. Stop playing your Ouya.
John's Ouya.
You never talked about Ouya, huh? I've turned it on twice, I think, three times since I got
Ouya.
Did you get Towerfall? I did get Towerfall, but it's a multi. It's a game that is, it's not fun on its own. It's fun in multiplayer, and I haven't had anybody to play with yet, so I heard it's really good multiplayer.
Wait, are people not playing it
online? You haven't Ouya? No, but you play local multiplayer.
Oh, okay.
But you only have one
I only have one controller, so what are you going to do?
You can use PS3 controllers.
Oh, can you?
Yeah.
There you go. Well, really? I didn't know that.
That's good to know,
I've been considering getting an Ouya because of that.
Really? You can play mine if you want. It's sitting over there, dude, collecting dust. Dan's like spazzing out here.
Yeah, you can't see it, but Dan just made
Dan, dude, just
his
take
O-face.
It.
This is a radio program. You have to talk.
What about No Breaks Valet?
I haven't played that. Is that
What's
like...
that?
That's
sounds
I guess in a sense Ouya is like the console for Dan, right? He's like the iOS like phone game guy. So this was like the console made.
Is that from the makers of what was that DSware game where it was like Car Park 1985 or something?
It's Justin Smith, who I think made EnviroBear.
Oh, okay.
And like the Justin Smith's like real sports simulator. They're really like messed up games. But
okay.
Like really creative and just interesting to
that
play.
That sounds cool. Is it a Ouya exclusive or is this just something that happens to be on Ouya?
You know, I'm not sure about that one, but I know Towerfall is exclusive.
Right. Yeah. So that's one game.
At least
that
temporarily exclusive.
People are
anyway,
talking about. Yeah.
Also, Wind Up Night came out for Ouya this week, which is actually a really good game, and I always felt like that game needed physical controls, so unless you had like an Xperia Play or something, you couldn't really play it. I mean, that game is super hardcore. You need to have like controls if you want to be really good.
I will say, like, for people who don't have... you can't really say it's for that even. I mean, that controller is a piece of shit. That controller is just no other way to say it. That controller is garbage. Total shit. Some aspects of the UI are kind of weird. Like
it's getting better every day. Like it updated like 3 times in the last 3 days.
They keep.
I guess
updating
I lied.
It.
I do turn. I've turned it on like probably 5 times ever. So the last couple of days, I turned it on to get Wind Up Night.
It is, you know, it's kind of a cool thing to be able to just check out a bunch of kind of. I mean, of course, you can just do this on your iPhone, but like. Just downloading a bunch of demos of free kind of weird indie games is very much like it felt to me like XLIG or whatever Xbox Live indie game channel.
It seems like a
lot like
step
that.
Above that. It's like curated a little bit. I mean, maybe because they're taking games that were already.
They're not just taking
like every kid's like hobby like game. Most of them are games. No, they're taking games that have come out on Android basically. Mostly,
so it's
like it's
not full of like games called like Mind Maker. And,
no, it is
right. No,
it is not yet. Full of a lot of those games.
If you look at the storefront, it's all games I've heard of before. They're just phone games basically. I mean, that's the only way to find games,
downloads
right?
or whatever.
Cavecraft.
Yeah.
They have like I noticed on the storefront it's got like, you know, Ouya picks or something, you know, top games, and it's got like Ben Kuchera is like top 10 or something. It's like that's interesting. They're like highlighting journalists like favorite games.
Well,
which,
Ben Kuchera is like Mr. fucking Ouya.
I guess I wonder why.
Oh,
now it's like, you know.
Why though? He's not getting shit out of their
I guess
highlighting
so. Maybe yeah, maybe
name.
They're just like because somebody's actually giving them attention.
Yeah, no, I think that's cool. I mean, you know, Xbox has done some of that kind of stuff. So has Sony kind of experimented with it. That kind of stuff is neat. There are aspects to the UI in terms of like you're downloading, you just hit something and then you're downloading and you go to the next thing. It's like that.
Right.
There are, you know, a couple nice things, but it's like, man, that controller is so terrible.
Right.
The controls. Like I couldn't just back out of things. I don't know if it was because they don't have like a TRC and it's not consistent, or if I was just
you're probably just hitting the wrong buttons with certain
games or something. But it was like, it was not, didn't feel.
Well, some of the games like still show button like icons for like the phone instead of like.
No, the system like. A thing itself has stuff like volume, like it has all these settings that you would only ever
every
need
now and then you see the mouse pointer on the screen. Yeah, it's like, what is that about?
Boy. So I mean, but for you know $100 as a like the weird quirky indie game machine, especially if they can get some of these games to be exclusive,
it's a stocking stuffer
for a little bit. You know,
it's not. Yeah, I'm not.
It could be like an indie game machine for the Walmart crowd. Like that would be cool.
I think there might be a small market for it. It's not me, but I'm not like. I also applaud what they did. I think it's actually good that someone did it, and it seemingly opened up a market for more of those kinds of machines. So
well, we'll see if it opened up because it just went on sale, right? So we'll see how.
Well,
much.
I just mean as far as like then GameStick happened, and then this happened, and that there's like five Ouya like wannabes already.
Right.
You know? They got to do something about that controller, man. The way you put in batteries.
Well, if you can use PS3, that's like fine. I didn't know that. Yeah. So
how do you put in batteries?
Like, you take off the front plate on both sides independently.
Yeah, one battery goes in each side
like
to keep
piece
the weight.
There's like this piece of rope that you like use to take out the back.
There's a piece of rope in there?
Yeah.
He doesn't miss that rope.
It's like one of those things that
he's
you pops
like a
out
caveman.
The battery.
Now, you know when you have the little
it's like there's a rope
ribbon
tied to a little brick, a small stone.
Might as well
put
be.
Inside.
Drop it down the well inside the controller.
Yes.
No, he means like a ribbon, but Dan, you're welcome to take the Ouya home if you want to mess with it and just, you know.
Yeah, you love the crappy Android devices. You're kind
bring
of our crappy
back on
Android device.
Do you have an account on there? Because if I do, but I don't have like my credit card in it or anything, so you can like use it. I don't care. Or you can sign up your own, whatever.
Okay.
Speaking of crappy games, Dan, what are you're playing? what are you playing these days on the X9000?
Wait, the X9000
knockoff.
To be honest, I haven't used it in a long time.
System.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's,
really?
That's
that surprises me.
It's because there's so many other good games that I'm playing.
Oh, wow. That's a shock. That's a shocker.
I know.
But you are playing Limbo on iOS?
I am. It came out yesterday.
Yeah.
How much, out of curiosity?
$5.
Okay.
And you had played it through it already?
I played it when it came out on Xbox Live Arcade.
And enjoyed it?
Yeah, I loved the shit out of it.
I liked it as well. I don't know if I loved the shit out of it, but
I did.
I would say I loved it. Maybe just not the shit out of it. But I loved it.
All right.
So
very fine distinction.
After playing it on the Xbox,
you're like, these controls are too easy and perfect.
I hate physical controls.
How can I separate myself?
Right? Please, I'm not serious.
How can I separate myself from feeling like I have total control?
No, I just never felt the need to replay it because it's like once you know the story and once you kind of do the puzzles, there's nothing. You know, you could just fly through the next playthrough. Of course, there's achievements for, like, not dying and stuff, but that's kind of lame.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you bought it again on
the iPhone, because it's been so long that I had forgotten it. So I'm learning, I'm playing, like, this game, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I kind of remember this puzzle. So it's kind of cool, and the controls are actually pretty good, aside from a few missteps.
Really? Well, it's not like a twitchy game, so...
Right.
Yeah, but there's platforming sections that I would not want to be, you know, basically it's a virtual D-pad, right?
No, you slide your thumb like just slightly in either direction to start running.
Okay.
And then so with any other button or with any thumb, you can...
Any of your seven or eight thumbs.
Yes. However many. You swipe like up or diagonally up and that will make you jump.
Oh.
And then
that
like,
works okay?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because you're running and then you slide it up. And
it should just be a button press, though.
I'm just surprised that works.
So what happens is, you know how like you walk up, your guy will walk up to like a box and his arms kind of like stick out in the game?
Yeah.
When he does that, you just hold your other thumb on the screen and he does the action.
Okay.
And then you slide the thumb the other way and he starts pulling the box. The biggest problem I noticed was, you know, like when there's the bear traps?
Yes.
You got to like get to it to pull it. Yeah. And you like slide your thumb and he just starts sprinting and you die.
Yeah.
But actually it doesn't happen that much and you kind of get used to it and I'm probably like halfway through it already and it's good.
Did you pick up XCOM?
I didn't because I got it for free on PSN. So
I know that was bad timing for the release because I did the same thing. Yeah, I was going to get XCOM on iOS and then it's free on PS Plus. So I technically own it already. I will say, I think I'm happy that they're charging $20. It's $20, right? I think it's $20. It's like, it's basically not iOS pricing.
Right.
It's too bad that they're like the one against a million who are charging $1 for the game. But I mean, I'm glad they're charging a full price for like a real game on iOS.
Yeah.
And people should support that. I hope they would. That game is absolutely worth buying, according to every person I know who's played it. So
I need to play that game. I told myself that this would be the one.
Me too. And then I turned on my PSN and I'm like, oh, I have it. So I'm just going to download it here and play it on PSN.
I ain't paying $20 for an iPhone game. Sorry.
Yeah, I think
you're the problem. You're a problem.
I'm part of the people who realize that the iPhone, iPad is not the optimal experience for a console.
Well, that I can't say that. That game, everybody has said that game fits perfect on iOS. So I won't be a judge of that until I play it. But
I'll wait till it hits $5.
I think we're gonna start seeing a trend of like good games starting to cost like between $3 and $7 in the near future on the
iPhone. Funny because Square Enix had the right idea. They just have bad games. Like they were charging like $20 for like 20-year-old games.
They had
a
bad attitude about it, I think.
And well, in their games too, right? It wasn't like XCOM's not even that old.
Right.
That's what I mean. I'm saying they had the right idea, but they just had old games that weren't good, right?
Final Fantasy Tactics is a bad game. By John Riccardi.
No, Final Fantasy Tactics is... I don't mean like... That's not what I mean. I mean like they picked Final bad Fantasy games 5, to charge $20 on. Like it's a 20-year-old game or whatever it is. It should be like, you know...
Do we... We don't have too much time left. Do we want to run through a little bit of quick news? Do the news dash, maybe?
There's the big
just
news.
No break. Just go. Just run into it. Right through it.
Rogue Legacy is really awesome.
So I'm unfortunately, I didn't have time to actually stop and read this new issue of Edge, but I got to read you this headline inside the magazine right now. If you haven't picked up... If you know what Edge is, great magazine from the UK, gaming mag. Probably the only magazine that I actually enjoy reading still these days. They're The page begins, Xbox One's Road to Ruin, an expensive, innovative console marred by arrogance and cluelessness.
Bam.
So I'm very much looking forward to reading this for better or for worse.
So I know that they had, this sounds to me like a lot of it written...
Before the 180.
Before the 180, and then it's like, oh shit, they just did that. Well, we go to press tomorrow. Let's just change the deck on this thing.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, they had to have been pretty far along in the issue by the time we know.
I mean, you have to have had that feature written, right?
Right, right. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, and you edit stuff and stuff like that. And don't get me wrong, I agree, and that we've gone on record about how it's problematic that at any point they thought that was going to be a winning strategy and... they're outmaneuvered by Sony and yada, yada, yada. I don't mean to downplay that at all.
Right, right.
However, I do not think it is any more that crystal clear. What's their headline on the cover of the issue?
They basically said your next console. Yeah. Mm.
So it's like, okay, yeah, you also, this is a British magazine and the PlayStation brand is a lot, really, really strong in Europe. I'd like to see them justify it from launch lineup. Like, you can justify it from price for sure. I'd like to see what they say in the issue. And again, I wish we could have read it, what they say about the game lineup and how they think it's that clear from a game lineup perspective. I mean,
I can only imagine they're approaching it from the same way that I've been saying, though, where it's less about the games, obviously, and more about the choices that have been being made over the last however long it's been, where it's just kind of like you kind of can see ahead a few months because of how Microsoft has been handling things for the last little while. It's like I said, they've got this lack of direction over there. They're making really weird decisions. And now I guess probably the one news thing we're going to talk about, right, is Don Matrick is leaving, which is just your boss is leaving 2 weeks after E3. Like, what does that say about your future?
Yeah, but really, who cares?
Come on. Who cares?
Gives a fuck, man?
Who gives a shit
about Don Matrick?
Anybody paying attention who, is worried about Microsoft not having a head on his shoulders, dude.
I'm not saying the consumer should give a shit.
I'm saying that you...
Because Don Matrick was there let's tighten up the graphics on level 3 of Titanfall. Don Matrick didn't know fucking game from his asshole. He's an executive,
right.
A top-level Microsoft executive.
And that's why they're in the position they're in right now, because of people like him. So what does it say when their leadership is jumping ship too? Nobody believes in the platform.
It's a good Zynga.
When is somebody going to come in? And I know, that was the worst.
Come on, dude.
Make it this is not a problem.
You're talking about this like it's Miyamoto leaving Nintendo.
No, I'm not.
Do I think
It's more like Reggie leaving Nintendo a week after Wii U launch. It's like, what does that say about the platform when your leader is like jumping ship?
No.
Leaving before the Dreamcast.
That would take Reggie having been a what we perceive as being a bad leader. So what you're saying is you're shitting on Microsoft for having made mistakes, and now you're shitting on them for the guy who was responsible for the bad news leaving, as like that's worse news.
It's not like they came out and said like, yeah, and here's the guy who's going to take his place. It's Jay Allard or something. They don't even have a replacement. Like well, Steve Ballmer was like the temporary.
The rumored replacement is the head of Windows.
Yeah,
which is definitely
that doesn't sound good to me either.
Good.
Like really?
You know what? Like this is how these top whatever people lists get all filled with like vice presidents and CEOs and stuff like that. Like, you know, worry about when you start to see if, you know, Don Matrick, my perception of him is that, for example, indies were not really important. Xbox
right.
Live Arcade was like maybe less of a priority under some of his things. What
right.
I perceive as his leadership more recently. Do I think that that guy leaving is a bad thing? I don't know, but not necessarily. Like, it could be a good thing. It could be a really good thing.
Well, I'm hoping it turns out to be a good thing. Yeah, but
I don't think it's going to have that much effect on. It's not going to have an effect. Their launch lineup is now their launch lineup, right?
Mm-hmm.
That guy.
If it happens, yeah.
From what I know, which granted isn't much of like whatever Microsoft internal, he's not like a super hands-on game guy. Like, he doesn't play a lot of games. He's like an executive guy who moves around the money and the numbers and stuff like that. So like him leaving, it looks horrible, don't get me wrong, it looks really bad, but like this is all like this other stuff. It was like, you know, they were fucking up on all that other stuff, but when it comes time and the system comes out and it's for sale, the thing that's going to matter, I think, is the $100 price difference, and it's going to be the games, right? Like,
of course.
Really, this I think
but
you're
like
overselling how much it matters. This
maybe you,
know,
you think
Don
I'm overselling,
Matrick,
but I think you're underselling it. Don't you think like there's like a something to be said for like the vision of the company and like the decisions they make would like affect.
You're assuming that Don Matrick was the guy who had like the vision of the Xbox One.
I mean, the guy who's like the CEO or whatever he was, president. I mean, he's the guy signing the checks or signing the, you know, the papers that say yes, do this, do that, whatever. Like, he's got to have some influence. Like, I just don't want to.
But again, he's been done. Then if that's the case, he's been nothing but fucking up. So why is him leaving a bad thing?
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I do want him leaving to be a good thing, but what I'm talking about is just more like
could it be worse?
It's a big red
yes.
sign of crisis.
Is the guy going to come in and is like, hey, let's make the Xbox One, you know,
Windows
$300 8. More yeah. and make it where it like punches you in the face when you turn it on. Like, how could it get worse? You know,
punch.
Like if he's the guy who was in charge of it when they made the decision to like, hey, what if we make a thing where we fuck over all the gamers? Like,
well, to give a concrete example, like I would have felt good if they actually named a replacement and it was somebody who I was like, okay, I believe that guy actually does have a head on his shoulders who gives a shit about games and
Phil
gamers
Harrison.
And like, well, not really, but I mean, you know, maybe it is Jay Allard or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But
like,
you know, a lot of this is like PR. A lot of it is perception. Like, you know, Mark Cerny is like a nice, really good PR thing for Sony. Like, you know, he's having like an effect or whatever, I'm sure. But you become
an effect, dude. He's driving the platform. I mean, come on. Like, he is the guy that they chose. Did you watch his speech last week at
yes.
whatever? Like, come on. Like,
oh no, I saw it. Yes, I
mean, he's basically the guy that they chose to drive the platform forward in this generation. And like, so far,
he designed
so good.
The system basically.
I mean,
we don't know exactly how much
he goes into detail about how involved he was with PS3 and PS2. It's actually really interesting. Like, and he was there like for both of them. Like, sitting next to, you know, Yoshida or whatever, like in the back room where they were making the hardware.
I'm saying is what you're seeing and what you're told and whatever is not necessarily the reality of whatever's going on.
Trust
things
no
are played
one.
Up and played down.
It's
and
true.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, like, the proof is going to be in the pudding. The proof is going to be in like the games when it comes out. To me right now, like, I don't see Sony as having a really strong launch lineup. I don't see them as having really solid first-party games.
What's the strong launch lineup for Xbox?
No, they don't have one either. But relative to PS4, like, I'll buy Dead Rising. There's Titanfall.
Wait, really? You're not going to buy
Titanfall's
Dead
not
yeah,
launched.
What else am I going to buy? What else am I going to buy at launch? No,
Dead
Titanfall's
Rising
not
terrible.
Launched. But what else has any kind of 1/10 of the buzz of Titanfall that's exclusive to PS4?
Yeah. Nothing, but
okay.
Yeah, but still, it's not.
What,
like,
but what does that mean? Like, okay, it's got buzz. So what? Like I just said, I'm indifferent to that game. That's not impressive to me.
But
PS4 is going to have like all these.
Unfortunately,
cool indie
for
games.
You,
yeah. have,
unfortunately
like,
for you, there's a shitload of people.
Okay,
who and? Are excited for that game, including like a lot of critics.
That's like one game, though. I mean, if you actually want to compare PS4
Dude, that's
and Xbox,
that's fine. Listen. I'm saying, give me one game for PS4. It's all relative.
Well, sure, but if you, let's just say you, Mark McDonald, if you had to pick one console or the other and you couldn't get to this fall with what you know now, which would you choose?
Yeah, I would buy the PS4.
Okay. I think so, too. And I think, I mean, there's no, so there you go. Like, what does that mean? I don't,
dude, that's, the no, but it's not. It's
there's got to be a reason there.
Yeah, it's price, and because I'm not a Titanfall guy
it's not
either.
Price. No, it's not price, actually. I mean, price would be the consumer, but you don't care what it costs. You would pay $6.99 for it. If
well,
you
I would buy.
To.
I would buy it. I would buy it no matter what. But you just asked me if I'm just going
to
buy one.
Right.
So I'm now. Now role playing as not me,
as me.
So I have to imagine now what it's going to be like. But like Titanfall is not important for me. But that doesn't mean that it's not for like a shit ton of people.
Sure.
So I'm forget even how we got into this whole thing.
They're
but
both getting Call of Duty.
I just see it as like 99% of the games are going to be on both, but then you're going to have a bunch of other cool, interesting, you know, experimental, whatever shit on PS4. Right now, we don't know what's going to be on Xbox.
And
other
maybe
than
some Japanese stuff. We still got TGS.
No, that's true. So I'm not calling it at all. I'm really hoping there's going to be more stuff in, especially like launch window, even if it's not launch day. I don't think either console has a slam dunk killer app at launch, which kind of sucks.
I think most of the time systems just don't, and I think it's a fact of like reality. We're just going to have to
Super Mario 64.
Okay, yeah. After the Dream,
recently
after the Dreamcast.
But you'll be happy to know that whatever he was responsible for, or whatever.
Yeah,
Don Matrick is getting like apparently about $20 million.
I think he was in charge
today, wasn't it?
I think
well, 50 in the next over the next few years.
Oh, okay,
this is Reuters reporting. Mm. It, he gets like a base salary of $1 million, $5 million. He owns like fucking mansions. He's a heir to whatever.
Have they
I don't
said,
know that
has
that matters.
Said what Zynga is like? What
who cares?
I mean,
but
again,
Zynga
maybe
is
the dude's
in trouble and had to fire all these people. And
right? Maybe
fired.
The dude's looking for a challenge or something. But like, what are they going to do? Are they going to get into like making real games, or are they just going to make more shitty like Zynga games? Or like, why would you?
I don't know. Partnerships.
He's got to know
people. Maybe.
Maybe it's Ben Gordon, because Ben Gordon's with Zynga, right? Mm-hmm. And they like he used to be the EA dude who was like Don Matrick's buddy or whatever. Maybe
probably
it's got something to do with that.
Once you get to that level, like you're kind of all country club buddies.
Yeah, it's like come
I
on over
imagine.
And you can come on my yacht for
yeah.
2 years.
They
and
traded
run this shitty company.
500 normal people for one. Don Matrick.
But I mean, welcome, you know, at the same time, welcome to America, like welcome to yeah. any industry. I mean, that doesn't make
even though he's Canadian
any less fucked up, but
oh, is he really?
Welcome to yes. Earth.
I didn't know that.
First Japan's Canadian, a two-tier like. country. JJ, you referred to this yes. earlier, so yes, the Xbox One not coming to Japan first. Apparently it's going to be soon after, won't be delayed
that
too much
news.
From North
yeah.
American release.
I'm guessing spring.
Some
but
people
still,
were worried that it was going to be end of next year, like they had said about
nobody's
Asia.
Nobody's
going to
care.
I didn't think that. And yeah. Microsoft's going to be at TGS this year. They weren't last
That's
year.
That's nice news.
That's
yeah.
very interesting
but it's
news.
Great because Super I get to play next-gen games without having to wait in lines.
And I think they kind of have to be whether they want to or not
yeah.
because PlayStation 4 is going to have a bunch of games there.
That's true.
And that's just a really big, battleground for them.
It's like the reserve
show
area.
Up at.
It would be awesome. You know, Microsoft has all that money. It'd be awesome if they do what they did last gen and actually just, you know, really irresponsibly throw out a lot of money to Japanese developers to make cool shit. Like, yep.
That nobody eventually
we
nobody
win
will buy.
In the end. Yeah, but, you know, I mean,
whoever
I'm glad
loses,
Blue Dragon got
win.
Made. You know, I mean, there are cool games that came out of that whole thing. So yeah. If Blue Dragon wasn't made, we never would have had that song by what's his name?
This
Blue
is the
purple.
yeah, I fully believe that they're showing up here, like they don't. Maybe they won't even have anything in Japanese. They'll just be like right. all showing up for the West.
It'll be like the Madden manuals, you know, that are just totally English.
Yeah. There's some breakdowns of what Matrick's move might mean. A lot of people saying that the whole move and stuff was planned before the whole
yeah.
DRM.
It had
game,
to
which makes
been.
Sense, yeah. right?
Sure.
I'm sure he was thinking like, I'm gonna fuck up Xbox and go to Zynga. It'll be so cool.
Fuck that up too. Xbox One is not shipping with a headset in the box. Apparently, you're gonna talk to your Kinect.
Can you use your Xbox 360 headset?
No,
right?
Headsets designed for the Xbox 360 interface will not be compatible with Xbox One controllers due to a new headset adapter port.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing
I'm
is
sure
compatible.
That was necessary.
They said something like because of the data that's transferring between the controller and the system is that it can't also support the voice data transfer. So that's why they want the Kinect to pick up your voice.
Wait, but there's going to be a headset available, though, right? You're just not going
to
get it.
Right, but it's going to be like there's...
Mad Cats.
Yeah.
Third party.
Yeah.
Well,
headset. Nah, I don't know.
I don't know if I care about that, but that's...
Xbox One reputation system is getting a little bit of an overhaul.
Yeah.
This is the thing that most people don't even remember, but you have... this is not your gamer score, but this is like your star rating or whatever.
You get 5 douche strikes.
Yes. If other people complain or compliment you on playing, you get basically if you call people shit and you know are an asshole online, you get grouped with other assholes when you play. So.
Doesn't that seem strange that they're grouping all these people who spout off hate speech all the time?
No,
maybe they get to put them all in a big room together.
Yeah, exactly.
And then all of a sudden they're yelling at each other. Wait, they're like, wait, guys. We all hate everybody. Let's form a club. And then, like, there's a neo-Nazi forum on there.
Maybe it'll be like right. Those Quake 3 bots. We all have a new story about that.
That was debunked. Left.
There really? Was, I knew that was bullshit.
Yeah.
Was bullshit.
It had to have been.
Anyway,
it was
did you
debunked
hear the story?
By Carmack.
So it was like, it was Quake 3 bots were left to, like, play for AI research or whatever for 3 years. And they came back and they'd all stopped shooting each other. and they were like, the only way to win is to not play, you know, and like right. They can't die if they don't shoot each other. And then they like would just watch the player move. The guy came into the world and they just watched him and then he attacked
like
one of them and they
an
all attacked
story
him.
Or something?
Yeah, no, yeah. This made the round.
This was on 4chan
all over the place. I knew that was bullshit, which is why I didn't retweet it. I was like, there's
that's
something
really,
about it. I forget what it was now.
Really
where
clever,
I was like,
though.
Wait a second. That's bullshit. Anyway, I was thinking maybe all the assholes would be left to their own devices,
right.
Would actually form this like utopia.
Yeah, maybe it's not fun anymore when the only people you're yelling at are other assholes.
Right, right. Exactly. So Ted Price talking about the Xbox One Cloud. I don't think we need to talk about that. Suda 51 thinks Xbox will only matter of time before it explodes in Japan. So
they gotta change the name.
That's one guy.
And,
Xbox One.
I would be really curious to see if they actually try to and change the name. The name is so bad in Japan for so many reasons. But yeah.
And I think it's a global brand. I think so too.
But I mean, yeah. I don't know.
PS Vita Indie Games Channel, PlayStation Store. A lot of people playing Hotline Miami now.
I bought that. Haven't actually played
really?
It yet, but I bought
good
it.
Good for
yeah.
you. Good for you. Yeah. Interesting game. Kind of a love it or hate it. I feel like kind of a fair.
Yeah, it's definitely something like I warmed up to the more I played it. At the beginning, I was kind of like, you know, why do people like this?
But. Right. Warrior's Lair. Are we going to talk about that? Maybe not. This one, he canceled it.
Got
canceled. So are we. Last of Us is doing very well in Japan. Glad to hear about that.
Really?
Sold about 120,000. A little bit under Uncharted, but as this news story from Silicon Era, I think, points out, you know, it's new IP. It's on the cover of Famitsu.
Always interesting to watch, you know, I'm playing Last of Us in English, but with the Japanese subtitles on, and it's always interesting to see how stuff gets localized into Japanese, but it actually seems pretty decent. Like,
Good. There's,
like, parts in the game, I'm not spoiling anything, but there's, for example, there's a part in the game where one of the characters is, like, telling some jokes from a joke book, and, like, the jokes are not literal translations, but they're retranslated to be funny in Japanese, you know what I mean?
Right.
But that
that's
was
interesting,
cool.
Yeah. I'd like to read what they did with those jokes. That would be one of the harder parts, as we all know, from localizing stuff. Nintendo President Iwata discusses region locking, says it's more than just Dan and you shaking your head. It's not unique to Nintendo. It's not just out of business ego. There's other reasons behind doing it. That they're doing it for like cultural reasons because of ESRB ratings and that kind of stuff.
They don't have to
different
do
that, territories
though.
Have different standards when it comes to stuff.
Who's importing games that are like mature rated because those exist on the 3DS? Who's importing these games that isn't old enough to be playing these games in the first place?
Well, what do you mean? There's teen, there's everyone.
Right, no, but I'm saying,
right,
like, okay, if you get an everyone
like
game, then the ESRB rating doesn't even matter.
Say what?
Because you have to have a credit
everyone.
Card.
The point is, you're probably an adult if you're importing games, essentially.
Yeah.
So it's like, why does it even matter?
Nah,
I mean, Nintendo, they were region-free before anyone else was for a long time. Like, it's weird. Like, Game Boy Advance, all those were region-free. Even Nintendo DS
realized
it just doesn't need
be
to be that way.
Or something. Well, we don't know that.
All it is
that... That was something that actually was also really interesting about the Xbox 180, is like, in the middle of that whole big announcement, they also are like, yes, also, it's region free now, which is like, whoa, like,
I know.
Where did that come from?
I know.
Like, of all the things to pick, I'm like, glad you picked our one thing, but somewhere Cheesemeister is like friggin' excited.
Nintendo announces new Chibi Robo photography game. Somebody has naked pictures of somebody for there to still be Chibi Robo games.
Chibi Robo was an amazingly good game.
Original Chibi Robo was interesting game. Interesting. Mm-hmm. With all the implications that come with interesting. Flawed, but very unique, and had some pretty awesome moments, but pretty fucked up.
Right.
For better and for worse, actually, in good and bad ways. But I mean, come on. After the first one, then you make like Park Patrol.
Dude, it was the Walmart exclusive one. Like, I don't know what the fuck they were thinking.
Was it really?
Yeah. How does that even come out in Japan, much less America? Yeah. Like,
but this one
Okaiti
is like
Chibi Robo, Happy Richie Osoji, like.
Like you they give you like stencil outlines of things and you have to go find them in the real world and take a picture of it, and then Chibi Robo comes out and takes it into the video game world, and then you like solve people's problems taking pictures of toilet paper rolls.
One problem Chibi Robo cannot solve is the WiiU.com domain name, which is still owned by some squatter in Burlingame, Massachusetts. I can't believe they don't have WiiU.com.
Yeah.
How do they not just drop? I mean, that's like pocket change to them. They could pay that guy $100,000.
They must
shut up.
He's
not using it.
They tried to sue him, but then didn't do it. Darkspore, are we going to talk about this? An RPG? No, not released on Steam. Average 4.5 players in a month.
I can't
imagine how it was canceled. Dwarf Fortress creators turned down a six-figure licensing deals in
it was a slow news week
in we just didn't get any of the good stories printed as we've been going through it. It's like, hey, wait, that happened and that happened.
I blame Dan and Chris.
Valve Steam trading cars, Green Light Super Show, a lot of Valve news coming. Hopefully they start talking about Steam Box.
That was kind of one of the things I was a little bummed that wasn't at the show.
That's news, actually.
Atlas entering in a restructuring bankruptcy, looking to transfer sell. This is...
Anyone know if Atlas USA has given a statement on this?
Atlas Japan.
I think they said something like it has nothing to do with them.
Really?
Gonna be restructured by creditors. They're gonna seek out and select a sponsor as soon as possible and conduct a business transfer before the situation further damages the value of the core business. Looks like they're looking for a partner straight by. This is from NeoGAF. And apparently, their parent company, according to Kotaku.com, Atlas, is under investigation for some kind of shady business practices. It was removed from the stock market. The stock was removed a few years back. There's an investigation going on at Index, which is a parent company corporate offices.
They sound pretty shady.
It's what the company president's home. They're investigating an index for fabricated and inflated business transactions, which is known as, quote, round tripping, used to beef up companies' corporate balance
sheet. Sound like a De La Soul song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And they've admitted that they're being investigated. They can't talk about it. They're saying blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, that sounds weird. How does that not affect, I guess, Atlas USA?
I don't know.
It's a separate company, but I mean, if they're getting
games
from... I just
checked their Twitter. There's nothing on there, but...
If they're getting their games from Japan, I mean, they might not be immediately bankrupt, but it's going to affect their games that they get to localize.
Right. It's interesting to see who steps... If someone steps in and helps out, because, you know, an obvious thing that comes to mind would be Nintendo, right? I mean, they're making a Fire Emblem game with them, and, like, obviously Atlas is one of the few people who are, you know, supporting the 3DS platform. I mean, they've been supporting Nintendo platforms pretty hardcore with the Etrian Odyssey games and their, you know, what is it, what just came out, Shin Megami Tensei 4, right
Well, also the new Etrian Odyssey came out
I mean, they're like actually supporting Nintendo a lot, so I wouldn't be surprised if someone was going to come out of the game industry. It would make sense for Nintendo to sweep them up.
Can you imagine how fucking pissed people would be if Persona 5 came out on
Wii U
man,
my goodness. Well,
I could hear Wind Turn screaming.
Not as pissed as they're going to be when we end this podcast right now. Zam.
Oh,
that just happened.
Only like a half of your segment of the last podcast.
I know. Well, that was a long. That was a doozy. So I think that we're owed not one, I think. Not doing one this time. But respectable length. But we'll be back in the coming weeks with our promised Dark Souls special, we got to do the Resident Evil one.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to do something about Last of Us. I'm trying to line up maybe some guests or something.
I feel like the Resident Evil one should be put on notice until they make a good Resident Evil game again. Like, true. They're not allowed to have their second podcast until they stop making true. Shit Resident Evil games.
Nice if there was like a strong reason behind right. the timing of that. But hey, my feeling is since there's not that, maybe we look back on happier times. Although we're through kind of the salad days of the series in the first episode, and now kind of into the when not so beautiful evolution,
right?
Of where it went.
Thinking about that Resident Evil podcast reminds me of our fabulous podcast with Kevin Gifford, and that reminds me of what I did E3 when I wasn't at the show. Is hanging out with Shane Bettenhausen, friend of the show, Sony man Shane, man God, listening to Kevin Gifford's Fun podcast.
Dude, yes.
We listened to like all six episodes. It's really, really
good.
Did
you guys just sit there and have it playing?
We had it playing in the background anytime we were in the hotel. Yeah, like totally awesome podcast. Highly recommend it if you haven't heard. It's a six episode sort of like podcast miniseries.
I loved it.
On game music. It's called Kevin Gifford's Fun. What is it? Kevin Gifford and his like pretend pals?
Yeah. Right.
Or something. Look it up on iTunes. Highly entertaining and a lot of really great old game music too.
Some weird rants, but
yes, it's totally bizarre.
Absolutely worthless.
Great rant.
If you want to learn,
Kevin's the best. He's like family to us.
If you want to learn about Oregon, this is the podcast.
Yes, but he also it's so you know it's like a game music podcast,
and it's classic, like deep old, cuts.
Yeah, it's not your like Mega Man 2.
Yeah, and that dude soundtrack. Knows his game. I mean, it has a little bit of that too. It's got some good stuff that you have heard, but it's got a lot of stuff you've probably never heard. That's
and it's
awesome.
Good stuff that you haven't heard.
Yes, it is great stuff.
Yes,
so. When you're not doing that, where can you be commenting about 8.4 and what's not?
Well, we have a website, 8-4.jp, where you can comment on our weekly podcast episode.
Except that it's not weekly. But
bi-weekly. Bi-weekly.
Close enough.
And also giantbomb.com, which is our second home on the internet. You can find our thread on NeoGAF. We are on iTunes. Review us, please. With nice reviews, not
like
bad
us on Facebook. Talk to us on Twitter. I'm at Mark MacD.
Wasn't somebody saying we need to get more Facebook likes? I think we're not liked enough. We're not feeling liked enough on Facebook. So
that'd be nice.
Come and like us.
I need more thumbs.
More thumbs. Whoa.
To tie it back
I'm
to
not
Dan's
gonna,
comment.
I'm not gonna. I'm not
gonna. I have your seven. I can give
say
you.
Anything right. about that.
Mark was about to give out our Twitter names.
Yes I did mine. Go.
I'm John TV.
Pooter McGee.
SPRSK.
All right. So I think that will about do it. We'll be back in 2 weeks. JJ will take some hauls.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
That's all right. And we will be fresh and ready and not jet lagged at all. So until then.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Tell a friend. And Dan, why don't you take us out?
The alpaca has become bipedal. His front legs have developed and now can be used freely as arms. His main attacks are using his hands, and his free time, he smokes cigarettes just because he can. Alpaca evolution. Looking in your eyes, I see a paradise. World that I found is too good to be true. Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart.